From Eden by Fry, Volume 1, Dimensions, Chapter 2, The Sultaness. Shaped like a pear, she sits on the bed doing makeup. Her skin is coffee-colored soft. Her eyes smile with secret knowledge, ancient and wise. She is 20. Unrushed and unhurried, she dabs the powder brush to her cheek, her legs folded. Her voluptuousness is contagious. In her lower lip, a golden ring. She looks like a goddess, and when she gets up, her vast midriff and buttocks bounce to the stoic rhythm of her stately gait. Gracious and large, she beams life into whatever sphere encompasses her. Gorgeous is she. I remember her as I look up at the waitress who is taking my order, who by contrast is gamin and lean and angular too. I appreciate her angularity more than I like it, but then angular, so am I. Assembled in the right way, we two could make quite a pattern. But I am seated at a table on my own, still puzzled as to why I am here, and she, with her dark brown eyes and dark brown hair, makes me feel I belong here. I have pale blue eyes and no hair to speak of, except in places where it flummoxes now and perturbs me. I order a Turkish coffee and fresh lemon juice, and am given a moment to look at the menu and decide what to eat. I am ravenous, which makes me think I maybe haven't eaten in a while. How long does it take to get from Clapham Junction to Beyoğlu? I suppose it depends on the route. My rational mind tells me there can be no sultaness. Then again, my rational mind tells me I am in Kingston, Surrey, upon the old River Thames. It pleases me to call it the old river, though in truth it is unlikely to be older than most. My rational mind is being irrelevant, I decide, and I order a hamburger with chips because I am hungry and I don't remember being a vegetarian, though it wouldn't surprise me to find that I was. The sultaness speaks to me now in perfectly formed elliptical syllables, and she says, "Nearly time to make our grand entrance." I understand her not. I'm trying to remember the night before in the hope that this would lead to something, ideally some sort of explanation, or if not that, then perhaps just a shimmer of clarity. The night before is a blur. I'd come back from Ibiza. I'd been playing water polo at 3 a.m. with some hearty Scandinavians in the pool. That much is certain. From then on in, nothing much is. I wonder where I'll be staying tonight. But my burger arrives and puts on hold questions and queries alike. "Our grand entrance," she'd said. "Are we in this together? I wonder, have I still got my phone?" And I feel for it in my pocket, and there it is. No missed calls, no voicemail, no text. None knew, that is, I am not friendless. Friends. I could phone up a friend. I could call Michael or Richard or David or Sam and say, "Hey, how is it going? What are you up to? Have you any idea what I might be doing in Istanbul?" My rational mind says that that's the way forward, but having relegated my rational mind just a moment ago, I feel sheepish putting it back in charge so inelegantly so soon, and I ask for some mustard instead. The agency hasn't rung to find out where I am. Maybe they sent me here. Unlikely, and also, what for? The fact that the agency hasn't rung to ask how long I'd be before pitching up, allowing, one imagines, a note of disapproval in their voice at having to chase me rather than me informing them of my delay due to a detour via Turkey, bodes well and ill simultaneously and in measure that broadly compares. If they don't miss me, then I'm not in trouble for not showing up. On the other hand, if they don't miss me, perhaps I have ceased to exist. Maybe I have never existed at all, and I'm no more and no less than a figment of my imagination. I like the word figment and decide to use it again soon, but unpaired from imagination, to make it thus more particular to me. The agency hasn't phoned, and it's now, what, coming up to 11? But Turkey is 2 hours ahead, so that could mean that they might phone any moment. Maybe I should call them right now. Or would that be over hasty, even drastic? Maybe the agency, too, has ceased to exist, or has never existed at all, and is, in fact, no more and no less than a figment of its own imagination. Ah, yes, I walked right into that one. I notice that I have not run out of cigarettes and decide to allow myself one now as the circumstances are clearly extenuating. The ritual of lighting it, the sensation of pulling in the warm air, the exhaling with the lower jaw jutted out just ever so slightly. What obfuscates the atmosphere may yet purge the mind. My headache has gone. That's a relief.